police officer. So I've been a cop 6 years, and I got a bigger perspective from law enforcement. I used to serve with Dartmouth and Dallas, and now I currently serve in a big city north of Out West. So why are we here? So me and my mom are here because we thought of the plan with IA and with the board regarding pretty much what happened with us getting incidents that we presented with you guys originally. I'm trying to keep it short, so it's kind of long, so I guess I'll make this shorter. Our complaints were balanced that we had were the fact that they failed to investigate, violation of my mom's Fourth Amendment rights from unreasonable searches and seizures, her Eighth Amendment rights from cruel and unusual punishment because when they put the handcuffs on her, they didn't double lock her, they caused her severe pain, and then they left my mom in a vehicle pretty much to be vulnerable to the suspect that we had complaints about. The investigators were the board and I said there were no violations, but I'm here because just from a short investigation myself, I can prove and discredit why there were policies and SOP violations that I pulled from DPD. So one of our things that we said was for them failing the investigation and violation of our rights. My mom was charged and they threatened me with criminal trespass and they charged my mom with criminal trespass. Being a cop, I'm very versed in the law. So what these, me and my mom were tenants of this property where we were parking our trucks at. We've been tenants of that property for almost a year and a half, close to 2 years. At that day, I would bring the contract, but I got off late because we were dealing with a barricaded suspect today, so I didn't have time to go home and grab the contract because I was showing kind of the sufficient evidence that I had, but if you guys want that, I can provide that. So we were at that property for almost 2 years. The day they show up, they were supposed to be doing a civil standby. We brought titles to our properties that we had there. We even pulled out receipts, which by law, actually, I wasn't obligated to do, but I pulled up receipts for almost a year and a half because I couldn't pull up a receipt for that month. They deemed us to be trespassing from that property. They never asked the owner of the property to provide sufficient thing to show that we've been evicted from that property. They never asked anything, but yet we had everything and they were putting the pressure on us to be able to show that what we had was necessary. The reason the guy didn't want us to take our property because the original complaint we had was that our trucks got stolen, our trailer got stolen, and the guy was unlawfully appropriating our trailer. The day we got there, there were stolen goods on a trailer. We tried to tell DPD about it. DPD, I even asked, hey, you guys got bolos or anything? Is there stuff on this trailer? Like, we didn't cop enough suspicious on trailer. It's not our stuff. What the stuff comes on. Oh, we don't investigate that. We don't do that. We don't get bolos. I know that's a crock because all police departments get bolos. If there's stuff going out, detectives, CID, they send stuff out. Let you know if that's the case, then what's DPD doing if they're not investigating stuff? The owner stated, he stated he wanted us trespassed. I like to quote the property code. Texas property code, we have penal code, transportation, health and safety code. This is what our guidelines that the government of Texas gives us to be able to enforce law. Texas property code 93.002. Let me pull up the code. I'm sorry, it's on my phone. And I'll start by explaining so what if people aren't familiar with what commercial property is. So what commercial commercial pretty much covers multifamily, office complexes, and storage facilities.
Time just expired. We appreciate it.
You do have handouts. Brian Reiser, former Dallas Police Department officer, proved in the court of law because he had the resources and the support to do so, that he was set up on a bogus affidavit and a fabricated police report. Fabricated police reports against you, no matter your race, no matter your gender, sexuality, or economic social class, is very, very dangerous. This is huge. It's very huge. Now, on the handout that the officer in OCPO said that y'all didn't receive it, I sent it today, yesterday, day before yesterday, and last week. On page one of the incident detail report of premeditated October 25th, 2013, it states that Corporal Cotner had his own report number. That's unheard of. Police officers, when making an arrest, do not have their own report numbers. They call dispatch to ask for a report number. Two, Corporal Cotner was antsy he was anxious, and he was very angry that morning of October 25th, 2013. That's why 2 hours of video was erased. Let me rewind and play back about Officer Brian Reiser and Montenegro, the detective. Honestly speaking, they were both set up to fail. That's in the papers. I want to also mention the names of Robert Groden, who was valued by the city of Dallas for 20 plus years. Now they come back after trying to kill this man and adapt his ideology and way of thinking because he was telling the truth the whole time. DPD Officer Nick Novello was blacklisted. This is recent history for speaking of injustices. Also, Dr. Larry Gentilello was blacklisted for speaking of injustices at Parkland, UTSW. On this report, when Corporal Cogner stated that it was a wipeout and he took notes in his handbook, that's a hell of a price to pay when you speak of injustices. And when a fabricated police report is connected to anybody's name, they should be willing to stand to take the hell of a consequences if it comes with that. Now, with that being said, Mayor Rawlings prearranged the meeting, but little did I know that the fabricated police report was a buildup of fabricated, manufactured, retaliatory complaints that are steady building, because this involves Encore, Fidelity, Pension, Stocks, Shares, Longstar, InSearch, Avesta is just now coming out. So in order to reroute and derail those funds to the hands of others when you're dealing with poor people because they don't have the resources to afford an attorney, you take their monies and you say this family is not worthy of the money, so we build these fabricated files. I'll be back at the U.S. Attorney's Office tomorrow asking for a meeting. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next we have Precious. Thank you for being here, Precious. When you're ready, please make your way down, make sure the mic is turned on, and I'll begin the 3 minute timer when you begin speaking, and I'll give you a 30 second warning, but we're glad you're here today. Thank you for being here.
Is it on? Okay. Hi, my name is Precious Holmes, and I was coming to speak on abuse of power. I have repeatedly been having to call the police every day, at least 5 to 6 times a day, in regards to stalking and harassment by a group. I don't want to call the police no more than you guys want me to. I don't know what all is needed for the harassment, but it's definitely harassment from them trying to come into my apartment, turning up the screens off of my apartment, putting food around my apartment, just all kind of mess. I can just kind of go on and on about what's been going to be conducted toward me. And due to what they've been doing toward me, I've had officers that have come out and said, well, you know, if you keep calling the police, we're going to end up taking you to jail. And I'm like, I don't know, I have no detective to call to give nothing, no information to. I've shown them pictures of the ones trying to come into my apartment, and this is what got me. At the other location that I just moved from, I showed them 3 different dudes that tried to come into my apartment. Now, detective, don't call back on that one. But when I move to the next property, and this guy's trying to come in the apartment while I'm there, but I don't see his face, a detective then calls me. And so, and he's like, well, I'm going to have to close this case up. So, you know, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I just know that I keep moving due to this group. I'm trying my best to reach out for help from the Dallas Police Department, but yet it's being used against me. I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I'm by myself. I'm not bothering anybody. And it's a group. They just keep striking me. They won't leave. It's a group of them, and it's due to an STD. Let me make sure I say that. It's due to an STD, and it seems like some matters is being taken in. And I guess, I don't know if they with somebody with DPD. I've written complaint after complaint after complaint. You got Sergeant Nancy Jones, if I can say that. You have Irene Malone, Irene, I think she's a major, that's with the Chief Eddie Garcia. I've even tried to just get a complaint on the chief to just try to get his attention. Because I don't know what else to do, and I'm like, somebody, I'm here today just crying for help. Like, somebody, please step in. I don't know what else to do.
Thank you so much. Precious, I have a couple questions. Precious, so I guess just to understand, you are being harassed by a group that is, and they were coming to your apartment.
Yes, sir.
And you moved a couple times, but yes. This group has followed you.
Yes.
And you have contacted the police, you filed complaints, and then at one point they did open maybe an investigation, but the investigator said that there was nothing there.
I don't even know if an investigation was ever opened. No one has ever called me back about any of it.
Okay. Have you had a chance to file an official complaint with our office of
I did file complaints with Internal Affairs. And that's when you know that's probably what you're talking about with the Sergeant Nancy Jones. I spoke with her there and I was sent to police oversight to speak with Mr. Kevin, the director, Tony McClary at the time.
And have you done that yet? Have you talked to the office quite yet?
To say again?
Have you talked to the office of oversight here at City Hall and filed a complaint with them?
Mm-hmm. It's going to one or the other. I don't know what I'm saying wrong or what's going on, but I'm not getting
I do want to encourage you to do it one more time. We have a new director in the house. We'll hear about a little later. Things are going real well. This is a good time.
Okay.
So I'm sorry this is happening to you, and I think the best thing would be for you to file a complaint with the office, and then they'll do their due diligence, and then it might come before us in more of an official agenda item.
Yes, sir.
So, what district do you live in by chance?
District 2.
Okay.
Just in my
room. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I'd like to call for public comment, Shanita Cleveland.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord.
We're happy you're here today. I'm glad you were able to sign up. And you know the drill. Please make yourself comfortable. Turn the mic on. Whenever you begin speaking, the timer will begin. I'll give you a 30-second warning when your 3 minutes is 30 seconds away.
Can you tell me when the clock starts? Because since I can't see the clock. And then can you give us a warning, like a hand signal at like 30 seconds?
At 30 seconds, you want a hand signal?
Please.
Consider it done.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You're actually very nice. I do believe that we can work with you based on this initial contact. Guys, I'm Shanita Cleveland, giving honor to the Most High, to Changa, to Attorney Allison Renter, to the beautiful Kimberly Porter, who is a beautiful soul, who is a nurturer, who spoke to me at the funeral, but the chief of police didn't. He walked into the funeral like this, like he's Elvis, on a black body. Okay? There's a rift. And anybody that is up here playing, understand me, anybody up here playing, you're going to get cut, or your council person is going to get cut. And we ain't doing no more playing, because people are dropping left and right. Folks is lying about the crime rate, about the violent crime rate, still lying. An old same adage of the broken window policy. What the hell is that? But a 1950 policy that didn't work then and it don't work now. Thank God we got people that care. Why the hell it take that long to get somebody that had the dang on idea on the horseshoe? That's crazy. You got these suits on. Let me tell you something. We got a big, big problem. I approached the police officer. I stood back, motioned like I was pretending to knock on the window. I walked in front. He rolls the window down. A Negro, I hate to say it. And guess what he said? Why are you walking up on me? Now the fire guy is laughing. He was with the fire, Dallas Fire. He had a shirt on. He was smiling. But the black guy was like, don't be walking up on me because of the climate. Well, how the hell do you think we feel every time you pull us over? Okay, we need to start telling the truth. No, you ain't really trying to communicate with us. You know why I like Jaime Castro? I told Chumba the other day, I was excited. I've been talking about that man for 2.5 weeks. I ain't never talked about no Coco that much, but the two I dated in Houston, Texas. Okay? So we ain't got no more time to be playing with y'all. It's a new day in Dallas. I said it for Amber Geiger. I said it back then to me and Honey. High five, because we agreed. We spoke for a whole hour and a half before I was even there, advocating on AC Christian Jr., the first black motorcycle cop, to give a memorial ride. Why the hell it takes so long? I'm so glad it passed. About fallen officers. He was falling. He had a heart attack. So, yeah. I'm not anti-police, but I am anti-bullcrap and racism and injustice. I don't care if you're clergy, I don't care if you're a lawyer, I don't give a dang on if you're a businessman or a chairman. We need to do better. On this commission, you are commissioned by the good Lord Almighty. Play with us if you want to, jump out there.
Appreciate you, Ms. Cleveland. Thank you for being here.
Ain't no more playing.
Next, I'd like to call Steve Pipkin. Steve Pipkin.
Is this on? You can
hear me? Yes, yeah, okay. We're glad clear. Thank you for being here. You have 3 minutes, and at the 30-second mark, I'll just let you know you have 30 seconds left. But thank you. Your time starts when you begin.
Okay. My name is Attorney Steve Pipkin, and I've been practicing law here in Dallas for 32 years. I'm really here just to lend a little bit of outside credibility, I hope, to the testimony and the information that Ms. Kimberly Jefferson has given you. On the day in question, I was actually representing her. And all of what occurred to her being arrested, handcuffed, the injuries she sustained, stemmed from them arresting her, allegedly for criminal trespass. What the body needs to know is that she actually had been in a contractual agreement with TNS Parking for almost a year. She paid monthly amounts of money for them to store her trucks. She was an invitee. Part of the contract, she had the right to go on the property anytime to check on her property, her trucks, to remove them if she needed to and bring them back. That was all part of the agreement understood. So on the day in question, I actually had spoken to Mr. Hawkins, who personally told me, and he gave me an email, but I wasn't able to retrieve it and print it, and said, hey, you filed suit against me, which I did on October 23rd of that year. And he said, can you please ask them to come get their property? I telephoned her and instructed her that it was okay, that I spoke with him, she could go get her property. So on the day in question, she was there as a person who was an invitee, legally obligated to be there, and he had actually given permission for her to come, not that he had to obtain her property and take it away from the property. When the police were called, he turned the tables and told them that he wanted her arrested for criminal trespass. It's impossible to arrest someone for trespass who has permission to be on the property. And pursuant to the property code and the language within there, there's not enough time, but that would have been rightful anyway. She also had observed that stolen property was in the back of her trailer, which was not there when she first put it on the property. She advised the police officers present on the scene of that as well. So they had knowledge that a crime had possibly occurred. She instructed where it was, what it looked like. It was appliance type, washers, dryers, whatnot, that they had placed in her vehicle that she did not own. Yet, she was the one who was arrested, handcuffed, left in a car for several hours. Then they changed their mind and offered to drive her home. So the position and the story that she's giving you is actually factual and supported by not only the lawsuit, but the award of judgment that was given in her favor as well.
Thank you, Mr. Pimkin. I really appreciate that. And it's good to hear this again. I recall the Jefferson case. I think I'll, if you don't mind, I'll be talking with the office about this, and then we can figure out what the office recommendation is moving forward, and this might end up on the agenda for next meeting. But I'll talk to the office directly about this based on the comments that were made today.
So thank you,
Mr. Pimkin. I appreciate that. Do you have anything else to say?
Yeah,
I'll give you a...
I just make it short. How do I reach out? Because they said there was no policy violations, but I didn't get a chance to because in a period of time to be able to detail.
Yeah, why don't you come up to the state? I'll come on down the microphone and you speak just that way everybody can hear. Because yeah, people online.
Their information is totally incorrect.
Yeah.
It's not fair to me.
Due to the fact that everything that happened, this is kind of an insinuated situation where it's kind of a lengthy thing that we lose you guys. We thought with the board, they said there were no policy violations. I pulled Dallas's SOPs and then I pulled their policies. From just a short investigation of my own, due to the stuff that they said didn't have policy violations, is inadequate because I found a bunch of things in their SOPs and their policies inside their standard procedures. And how do I bring that forward to you guys, the findings that I have to prove otherwise that the investigation was false, but there was no policy violations when I clearly have them and it's in the policies.
We hear you, and again, this has been, I appreciate you guys being here today, and I'm committed to now talking with the office, with the director, she's doing a great job of getting a lot of our things lined up.
And I can get her.
I'm gonna ask her to look at this again and get her opinion on this. And I can't speak for the office by getting back to you, but I'm committing to you that I'm gonna speak with them about it, and we will talk about the next steps. But I appreciate you guys being here, and I will speak to the office about this coming month. And I know that you're heard on this, and we'll revisit it. So thank you. I would like to invite Arlene Liz Marino to the front, to the microphone. Whenever you're ready, make sure the microphone's turned on, and when three minutes will begin, you begin speaking. And would you like a 30-second warning?
There's 66 that so I would appreciate maybe consolidation and make it work.
Thank you so much for being here. And I'll definitely talk to the office about this as well. Thank you.
Excuse me, just real quick, can y'all change the time? If you want engagement, can we hold this meeting at 7 p.m.? Because at 5:30, we're badly trapped.
Thank you for saying that.
I have to go early. I'm saying, people need to meditate.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
I feel rushed, you guys can really take a look.
Yeah, I do want to meet you as well, and let's reserve the comments for those that are sitting down on the microphone. I appreciate your comment, I heard you. Let's maybe connect later and talk about that. From the stand, not the best. I do want to invite the last comment that we have right now. I don't know if everyone online, but we have Devontae Thomas. Devontae Thomas. Eric, do we have anybody online by chance waiting for public comment?
I don't see anybody at the moment. And is there anybody online that's connected? Just send me a message in the chat, let me know that you want to speak, and I will get you ready to speak. But I don't see anybody at the moment.
Thank you so much. And if anyone's out there listening and they would like to comment, they do have a slot at the end of our meeting for public comment. Contact the office, send a message in the chat. But I do want to thank those that were here today for public comment. It takes courage to come for a horseshoe and share. And I know that we have listened and that we heard and we appreciate it. I hope that we can continue this conversation. At this time, I want to begin our meeting as well. We will begin by taking a roll call of the board members present, following the roll call, and then approve the minutes. So go down by each district, and if you are here, please confirm your attendance. District 1.
District 2.
District 2.
District 2, Tom Hagel's present.
District 3.
District 3, Tom Hagel's present.
District 4.
District 4, Dr. Mark Gilbert's president.
District 5.
District 5, Mark's mom.
District 6.
District 6, Derek Newton.
District 7 is currently vacant. District 8.
District 8, does the Joanne is present.
District 9.
District 9, Allison Winter Allen.
District 10? Vacant. District 11?
Arlene Steinfield, District 11, present.
District 12? District 13?
Ed Kittner, District 13, present.
District 14?
District 14, Raymond Green, present.
And I'm District 15, John Mark Davidson, present as well. I would like the board to take a few minutes to read over the minutes from our last meeting. And when a board member has looked it over and feels compelled to make a motion to approve the minutes, we'll continue. We have a motion that's been seconded. Any discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. The minutes have been approved. We will now move now to section 4A on the agenda under staff reports and briefings. Section 4A, we have some good news to share. And this is the update on the Office of Community Police Oversight Director search. And among us, we are honored by the presence of Interim City Manager Kimberly Tolbert, and she will be giving this announcement on behalf of the city and on behalf of the board.
Thank you so much, Chairman Davidson, and to the members of the Community Police Oversight Board. It's a pleasure for me to be here this evening to talk about a new chapter in the Office of Community Police Oversight with a director appointment. I'm really excited about the opportunity that we have to move this office forward and lead with transparency, accountability, and integrity. Before I do that, I want to take an opportunity to thank this body for the support that you gave. I remember coming and sitting down with you all early before I actually began the interim appointment and talked about my support of this body and how we were going to work better together and to partner to ensure that throughout this process of identifying a new director that we would do it together. So thank you all so very much for your support and your dedication. The work I believe that we will accomplish together and the decisions that you make as you serve in these roles will really help us to achieve our shared vision of how we continue to focus on making our city inclusive, and we also tackle those issues that we have to address together. With that in mind, I am extremely excited tonight about introducing to you, some of you have already had an opportunity to meet Michelle Andre. Michelle, will you stand, please? Michelle is our new director for the Office of Community Oversight. Can y'all give her a hand, please? Thank you so very much. We know that she is stepping into this role with a wealth of experience. She has demonstrated just throughout the interview process and just coming on board as quickly as she did, how we have to be about the business and the urgency that we have to do that work. And so Michelle brings to this office more than 8 years of experience as a public administrator. She's worked in the field of police oversight, previously serving as the program manager for the Albany, New York Community Police Review Board. During her tenure, Michelle spearheaded the development of fair disciplinary standards, initiated independent investigations into misconduct complaints and incidents, and revamped administrative systems to ensure efficient complaint processing and impartial reviews. She's an active member of the National Association for Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement and a certified practitioner of oversight. As we welcome Michelle to the City of Dallas, I'm confident that she will bring a new perspective, new innovative ideas, and a collaborative spirit that will further enhance the efforts of this work. During the most recent City Council conversation around this office, we talked about the need to develop an action plan. And I look forward to working with Michelle to provide that plan and actually ensure that it receives not only your input, but your blessing as we move this work forward. So I want to again thank you all for your work, your commitment, and how you've supported us throughout this process, the difference that you're making in our city. I want to thank you personally again for your support, and I look forward to working with the board. Thank you all so very much, and thank you for receiving Michelle as the new director of the office. Thank you.
Thank you so much to IC and Tolbert for this, and I think we can speak as a board that we have been so impressed, and it's been a pleasant surprise to see how this has been gone since Ms. Tolbert has taken her role as the interim city manager. We've definitely felt a difference in her support, and we're so happy that she is here in this role, and we're so thankful that through her leadership, we were able to get Director Andre. All of us who met her and communicated with her, we're excited about the future for oversight. The pieces are in place in the city for a great future. So thank you. And I understand you might need to head off to other parts. But
I do. I'm going to stay as long as I can.
Okay,
thank you.
I do want to move on now to item 4B. Item 4B. This is an update on the City Council Charter Proposed Amendment. We had a discussion last meeting about how the board felt about a recommendation from the City Charter Commission to shift where the Office of Oversight reports to. Currently, the Office of Police Oversight reports to the City Manager, and there was a proposal towards the City Council that would shift, and instead of the office reporting to the City Manager, to the City Council. We did speak about that at our meeting. I think all of us but one were in support of this particular recommendation. Nothing against the City Manager. We just thought that it would be a greater for the sustainability of the office in the long term. A few of us were there at the City Council meeting, Chanda, Board Member Higgins, myself. We were able to speak before the City Council. The vote was taken, I believe it was 14, or it was 2 to 11 to 2, anyway, it was voted down. Do you remember what was it? 4 in favor. So 4 in favor, 11 opposed. And this recommendation was voted down. There was some silver lining, though, in this discussion. I think through this process, greater awareness has been put on the Office of Oversight, the Board of Police Oversight. And I think there is collective agreement that some changes need to be made to help this office do our job and the board do our job more effectively. And what was presented at the City Council meeting was a challenge to the interim city manager, a 90-day, to present a 90-day plan. And in communications with Ms. Tolbert, one of the key ingredients was getting the director here so that she could be a part of those conversations and be on the ground level when we begin to dream as a board, but also as a city, of what the Office of Oversight of the Board can do to better serve the people of Dallas. So that is the update. There will be a conversation with Ms. Tolbert in the coming weeks, months, and I'm know we'll be here to hear her vision as well for where that is and where we can join those conversations. And we have Director Andre here as well with her experience and expertise to help guide the discussion, give her input, and allow us to better serve the people of Dallas. Any questions, comments from the board? In that case, I will move on now to item 4C. Item 4C, and this is Officer Darren Brooks Memorial. We're heartbroken as a city that on August 29th, we lost an officer, Officer Darren Brooks, tragically. We mourn the City of Dallas Police Department. Here with us today, we're honored by the presence of the IAD Director Major Anthony Greer. And he will share with the board a memorial service that went down for Officer Darren Brooks and speak on behalf of the department.
Thank you, board. Especially, it's been very difficult for the department.
Major Greer, your mic turned on. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, board. This past week has been very difficult for the department as well as the community that we serve, and the loss of Officer Darren Brooks. I didn't get an opportunity to meet Officer Brooks. I worked at the academy for a number of years, but Officer Brooks came after the time I was out there. It came shortly after. But it wasn't too long before the stories that we hear about him, I came to learn about Officer Brooks. I came to know him through the stories shared through his family, through his friends, and also through the work of officers that worked alongside him. But I tell you, it's been a struggle for me to put into words the person that he was. He embodied words like leadership, passion, commitment, dedication, service, and that, I'm sure we can go Google that or look it up in a dictionary, but you clearly would understand those words. But the part that I struggle with is seeing those words in a tangible person, which was Officer Brooks. All those words were him when you look at his actions, his conduct, how he portrayed himself to his fellow officers, the professionalism that he had throughout the community, throughout his entire life. His mother shared stories with us about when he was 5 years old. When he was 5 years old, bringing attention to other students in class that, hey, you need to do better. And that didn't stop it. Of course, 5 years old, he carried on throughout his adulthood in the same manner that he was. Officer Brooks protected and served his community, his Dallas community, for much longer than the tenure that he had here in the department, because he wasn't here in the department for a long period of time. But understand, Officer Burke served as a teacher for over or near 20 years. And to me, that is the basic form of protecting and serving. He protected and served the youth for the future. shaping the future of the people that live here in Dallas. I mean, I say this with all commitment, if somehow we could take the tiniest portion of Officer Burke and put it in each one of us, each one of y'all officers here on this police department, it's absolutely no doubt that the department would be stronger than it ever was, and the same is said for the community. I just want to be clear, the department as well as the community, we will never forget Officer Burke's. As long as we're here, the sacrifice that he made. With that sacrifice, I'd like you to join me in a moment of silence, if you will, please.
Thank you so much for your career, and I know you think for the board, and just our heartbreak as well. You know, our Memorial Department, no lives here will be lost, and we're so sorry.
Thanks.
I come in, I have heard the great things about Officer Burks and his involvement in the community and what he did for the city of Dallas. Thank you for sharing today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We will now move to item 4D, which is a video of a critical incident that took place on August 29th. This was the incident that, prior to the video, took Officer Darren Burke's life. This is the video we'll see. We'll show the aftermath of that, I believe. This has been released by the City of Dallas as well, so police department. So the chair now recognizes Sierra Owasui to take this video, critical incident from August 29th, 2024.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to let you know that the office was able to attend the funeral this Saturday. OCPO was notified about an officer while shooting that occurred at approximately 10:02 p.m. on Thursday, August 29th, when Corey Cobb Bay entered the parking lot of the 4 Oak Cliff Community Center located in the 900 block of East Ledbetter Drive. Shortly after, Officer Darren Burks arrived at the scene in a marked patrol vehicle and was subsequently approached by Cobb Bay. Cobb Bay then pulled out a handgun and fatally shot Officer Burks. At 10:10 p.m., units were dispatched to assist an officer in distress. Upon arrival, responding officers discovered Officer Burks fatally wounded in his patrol vehicle. Officers Jamie Farmer and Carissa David, who were both responding to the scene, were injured in the ensuing exchange of gunfire with Cobb Bay. Officer Farmer sustained a gunshot wound to the leg while Officer David was struck in the face. Armed with a shotgun, Cobb Bay then fled the scene in a white Buick. Followed by responding patrol officers at 10:35 p.m., the pursuit of Cobb Bay entered Louisville, ending in the northbound lane of Interstate 35 East at 10:38 p.m. Cobb Bay exited the vehicle holding a long gun when Dallas police officers fatally shot him. He was pronounced deceased at the scene. Officer Jamie Farmer was released from the hospital Friday afternoon, August 30th, and Officer Carissa David is in critical condition but is listed as stable. This makes the fifth officer involved shooting of this year.
That's right. And more to come.
Eric, if you want to go ahead and play
the video, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, I'm pulling the video up now. I'm Deputy Chief William Griffin of the Dallas Police Criminal Investigation Group. I
we know them, of the officer involved shooting that occurred on August 29, 2024, in the 900 block of East Ledbetter Drive and the 1000 block South Stevens Freeway. This is the fifth officer involved shooting involving a police officer in 24. A preliminary investigation has determined that on Thursday, August 29, 2024, at 10:02 p.m., the suspect, identified as 30-year-old Corey Bay, arrived at the 900 block of East Ledbetter Drive and parked his white. At 10:04 p.m., Officer Brooks arrived at the location and parked near the front entrance of the building between all signs. Cobb Bay approaches Officer Brooks and talks with him briefly through the driver's side window as he apparently records the encounter with a cell phone. Suspect then pulls out a handgun and executes Officer Brooks as he sat in his vehicle. At this point, a police dispatcher noticed an unusual transmission from Officer Brooks' radio. The dispatcher attempted to contact Officer Brooks, who does not respond. The dispatcher located Officer Brooks via his GPS location and sent officers to check on him. Meanwhile, the suspect then goes back to his vehicle and takes out a shotgun. It's back to Officer Brooks' squad car, placing the shotgun on the roof. At 10:11 p.m., Jamie Farmer responds, pulls into the parking lot, and the suspect immediately fired a handgun at Officer Farmer. Officer Farmer returned fire and ran across the parking lot. The suspect grabbed the shotgun from the top of the squad car and fired one time toward Officer Farmer, who continued running. Officer Farmer was hit once in the leg. At 10:12 p.m., Senior Corporal Carissa David arrived and positioned her squad car at the entrance of the parking lot. Suspect ran towards Officer David and shot her multiple times as she exited her vehicle. Officer David returned fire and was shot in the face during the exchange. The sergeant arrived on the scene and saw Cobb Bay standing near his vehicle. The sergeant directed the next arriving patrol car to follow the suspect, who fled westbound on East Ledbetter Drive and then northbound onto I-35. Patrol pursued the suspect into Louisville. Cobb Bay came to a stop on the expressway just north of 121 and exited his vehicle with the shotgun in his left hand. The suspect approached officers and pointed the shotgun at them. Officers Nathaniel Paper, Kevin Lim, Corey Reed, Richard Pace, Vladimir Perez, Joel Portello, all fired their department issued firearms, hitting the suspect multiple times. Cobb Bay died at the scene. No officers were injured in this exchange of gunfire. Senior Corporal Farmer was treated and released from the hospital today, and Senior Corporal David remains in critical but stable condition. At this time, the investigation has determined that the shooting is premeditated. Detectives finding and collecting evidence on social media. At the Louisville scene, two shotguns were recovered. At the Ledbetter scene, a .22 caliber handgun was recovered along with a 9mm handgun used by the suspect. The investigation is ongoing and is being investigated by the Dallas Police Special Investigations Unit. The Dallas County District Attorney's Office were notified and responded to the scene and will conduct their own investigation. The Office of Community Police Oversight was notified. In an effort to be transparent, the Dallas Police Department is releasing the dash cam video footage of this incident.
This is under investigation currently. This is Is that correct, Major?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
And it's under the Special Investigations Unit?
That's correct.
Okay. But I do want to open up the floor at this time for the board. They have anything to say or comments? Understand this is still under the investigation and not much to be answered at this time. Thank you. I think so you're, I do believe, are you also giving the next one critical incidents update?
Yes.
Okay. I would like to move on now to item E1, which is a critical incidents update. And the chair would like to recognize the policy analyst, Sierra Obasui, for this memo update.
Thank you. OCPO reached out to IED on September 6th for an update on these critical incidents, 02, 03, and 04. They are currently still pending investigation with DPD's Special Investigations Unit. That's.
Thank you so much. Any questions or comments from the board this time? Yes, Ms. Wiggins.
For these critical incidents, was the office able to go out and investigate or be part of the briefing?
Yes. I also want to add, I know there was a question about footage relating to all three of these incidents last board meeting, and we are still working to gather that footage to do the transition of the directors.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments from the board this time? Seeing that there is no further comment from the board, we'll move on to item F. Item F1, under status on requests and updates. We have item one, which is an update on the 72 hours body-worn camera release policy clarification. The chair would like to recognize the policy analyst, Sierra Obasui, for this update to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last board meeting, there was a request made for an update on DPD's 72-hour critical incident policy. In the event of an officer-involved shooting, the firearms discharge review team, which is comprised of a major designated by the chief of police, a lieutenant from the Special Investigations Unit, a lieutenant from the Internal Affairs Division, a lieutenant from the NCM training staff and departmental range master, and if the above members are not available, substitutions will be made by the respective division commanders. In the event of an officer involved shooting, the firearms FDRT had 72 hours to brief the chief of police, the director of the Office Community Police Oversight, and to publicly release video footage related to the critical incident. The director of OCPO may participate in the following ways. Attend witness interviews from a separate room, observe on-scene investigations, participate in preliminary briefings related to DPD critical incidents, review relevant evidence, meet with the chief of police to discuss the investigation, and provide feedback. Additionally, the Media Relations Unit will provide the director with a copy of any publicly released video footage related to DPD's critical incident. I have cited DPD's general orders below from section 317. They're also attached for you following the memo.
Thank you, Ms. Obasui. Any questions or comments from the board to Sierra Obasui at this time? Yes, Board Member Kinder.
Yes, with regard to the various roles that the office plays in these reports, have you been attending these because of the lack of a permanent director? Have you been the one going to the scene, observing any witness interviews, that sort of thing?
Previously, under our interim director, I was able to attend, I believe, all three briefings of 02, 03, and 04 critical incidents, and I was able to attend the 04 critical incident on scene as well.
And have the police been cooperative and allowing you to do what you're supposed to?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any further questions or comments from the board this time?
Judge Landon, District 8. I note that 317-08 indicates the director manages in, et cetera. Should that not be the director or designee?
That could be a suggestion, yes.
Well,